Yes, we do.
I'm sorry,
Okay.
you guys. I get so confused.
You're okay.
I mean, like,
It's
it's five
okay.
thirty, so somehow in my mind we changed it. I thought it was 6:30, so I apologize.
Okay,
It's
so
okay.
are we ready? It's 6:09. So this session of the DDD District West Independent Oversight Committee is now called to order. Today is August 27th, 2024, and the time is 6:09. Do we have anyone on the committee who has to disclose a conflict of interest? Okay, if there was, then that committee member would need to disclose why. And that would be a conflict of interest concerning the 10 items on our agenda. Nothing else. So there's no reason for you to disclose any kind of conflict otherwise. We all sit on nonprofit boards that could be potential conflicts. And as a healthcare consultant, I have clients who could be potential conflicts, but as Larry Allen from ADOA has explained to me, I don't have to disclose my client list unless we're talking about one of my clients. Then I need to tell you who my clients are. So, now is the time for us to welcome and introduce ourselves. So I'm Dee Friedman. For now, I'm the chair until you guys decide that you want to replace me. Anytime, I'm welcome to that. By trade, I'm a healthcare consultant. I am also Andy's mom. Andy would have been 23 on Thursday, the 22nd of August, but 3 years ago, he passed. And he was a DDD Mercy Care member from 2003, when he was 24 months old, until 2021, when he passed at age 19. So, Brad, since you were here before me, you want to introduce yourself?
I'm Brad Doyle. I'm a cafeteria manager and restaurant manager by trade. I've got a 38-year-old son that's on the severe end of the autism spectrum, and I've been in the DDD community since 89, and I advocate for families and try to keep up to date on legislation and all the stuff that's out there. It's a full-time job.
Hey, Pam.
Hi, good evening, everyone. I'm Pam Dewey. I'm still relatively new to the committee, just attending my first one in May before the break. I am a registered nurse, retired from a local hospital system after 37 years there. So I'm doing some PRN work for another hospital system right now, just a couple days a week, reviewing contracts for them. My background's been in neurosciences, clinical research, and case management. I'm a respite provider for my grandson, who is 5 years old, on the autism spectrum, and he recently started an ABA program in April, and he is doing awesome. So we're so pleased and excited, and happy to be here.
That's great news. And
yeah.
Pam, with her healthcare background, Pam understands the quality criterias. So whenever we need help being walked through that criteria and the lingo, I'm sure we can count on Pam to help us. Hey, Cynthia.
Hi, sorry. Cynthia McCluskey. I'm the president of Autism Society of Greater Phoenix. Excuse me, I'm an insurance broker. I help people with Medicare, ACA. I'm a Medicaid advocate. And I have a son who's 26. He was a DDD Altex member for many years. He no longer is. And he just got his full-time job. So excited to kick him off my insurance.
Okay. And Michelle, do you want to have everybody else introduce themselves, if you wouldn't mind doing that for me?
Sure, that's certainly not a problem. Let's see. Start us off. I'm just going to go along with what I'm looking at on the screen. Joan, would you start us off pretty please?
Hi, everybody. I'm Joan McQuaid. I'm a manager with the CARES Administration, and I'm here supporting Michelle and Morgan.
Thank you. And Leah, if you wouldn't mind.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. I'm Leah Gibbs, and I am the Bureau Chief of the DDD CARES Administration, and that stands for Community Advocacy Resolution Engagement and Support.
Thank you. And Christina?
Hi, sorry. I'm Christina Hedges. I am the DDD OIFA Administrator within the CARES Administration.
Thank you. Delora?
Hi, my name is Delora Grant, and I am the District West Quality Assurance Supervisor, one of the two supervisors under Diane Kress, who is the manager currently.
Thank you, Delora. Larry?
Good evening. Larry Allen with the Arizona Department of Administration.
Thank you. Frederica?
Hello, this is Frederica Graham with Access.
Thank you. Dawn?
Hi, everybody. This is Dawn McReynolds. I am the United Healthcare OIFA Administrator. In for Ian Wilson.
Thank you. Wendy?
Good evening, everyone. Wendy Herring with Mercy Care OIFA. And a fun fact, today is my parents' 63rd wedding anniversary. I was not invited to their celebration, but it is beautiful. Yay!
Aww, that's fantastic.
Wonderful, Maria. That is wonderful.
That is fantastic. Okay, let's see. I lost my place with that good news. Oh, Kim, definitely can't forget about you. Thank you for coming tonight.
Oh, no problem. My pleasure. I'm Kim Dorshaw. I'm the manager for the Commit program. My background, so I've been working for various DDD contracted service providers for over 16 years in Arizona. I've been with Commit since March of 2023, so since pretty much the beginning. And yeah, so when Gail retired at the end of June, I took her place. So now I'm the manager. So exciting, but there's a lot that's been going on to say the least. And I'll be reviewing all of that and more.
Thank you, Kim.
No problem.
And then we have some guests this evening. We have Maria.
Hello, I'm Maria. I'm 18 years old. I'm a college freshman at ASU. I'm double majoring in political science and educational studies. I provide respite for my 7-year-old brother, who has autism and is nonverbal. I have interned also in the Autism Society of Southern Arizona, and I'm really excited to be here.
Well, thank you, Maria, especially since you're busy on the road, too. Thank you for being with us. Colleen?
Hi, everyone. Good evening. Can everybody hear me okay?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Wonderful. Colleen McGregor. I come to the committee as a parent to a now young adult, young man who is impacted by global neurodevelopmental difference. He's been part of the public system since 2011 and is currently being served by DDD Mercy Care. And thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming. David?
My name is David Jefferson. I'm the founder and CEO of Parents Support Arizona. We support families across the state in navigating the developmental disability system, behavioral health system, and education system.
Thank you, David. Welcome. And I almost forgot my counterpart, Morgan. So sorry.
Oh, good evening, everyone. Morgan O'Hara, DDD Independent Oversight Committee Liaison.
Thank you, Morgan. My name is Michelle Rademacher. I'm a DDD Independent Oversight Committee Liaison, and I'm also with the CARES Administration. Was there anyone that I did not call on? I do apologize. Okay, Dee, you're all good to go.
Okay. So we do have our call to public. This is a time that the public can comment. Members of the committee may not discuss items that are not specifically identified on the agenda. Comments are limited to 3 minutes per person. Does anybody have anything that they want to comment on from the public? Okay, so Larry, I'm gonna ask you a procedural question. Are you there, Larry?
I am here, yes.
Okay.
My camera is not coming on for some reason, so I'm not being rude.
It's okay. We're missing your handsome face, but we can still get your wisdom, Larry.
Okay.
We have two potential members that you've already screened, Maria Blandon and Colleen McGregor. Now, it's my understanding that I can do this agenda in any order that I want, correct?
That is correct.
And if this committee nominates and votes upon these two individuals, they automatically immediately become members of that committee and they can participate in this meeting. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, so with everybody's indulgence, since I don't need a motion and a vote, I actually have discretion as the chair. I'm going to jump down to number 9 on our agenda, discussion, review, and possible action on committee membership. So I'm going to ask Colleen. I know you introduced yourself, Colleen, but I let everybody know in the email, Maria, I didn't realize you were coming, so I didn't mention you in the email that I sent out this afternoon. But Cynthia McCluskey and I have worked with Colleen for at least the last decade. So you got to indulge me here. I'm getting old, so I forget the exact number of years, but it's been a decade plus that we've been working with Colleen, both as a parent advocate and as a professional in her role working for Banner Health. And I think that she's an amazing addition to our committee. I actively recruited her and hounded her, and so did Colleen. Does anybody have any questions for Colleen? Colleen, is there anything that you'd like to tell the group before they make a motion and then vote on you?
No, other than I'm really humbled and honored to be here, and I look to serve the committee in any capacity that I can. So together we will do better.
We want you to serve us as a full member of the committee. Mm-hmm. Hey, Brad, Cynthia, or Pam, does anybody have a motion out there that we accept Colleen as a member of the DDD District West Independent Oversight Committee?
I make a motion to accept Colleen McGregor as a member of our District West IOC committee with love and joy.
And do we have a second? Brad or Pam?
I second. Yeah.
Pam seconds it. So now we have a vote. Hey, Larry, because there's only 4 of us, do I have to vote or do I have to be quiet?
Only 4? You got four total, right?
Which makes quorum. But if only 3 people vote, we don't make quorum. So do I need to vote to make quorum?
Correct, yes.
Okay. So is there anybody who objects? Okay. So all in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
So we can do it by voice vote. We don't have to poll everybody, right, Larry?
That's fine.
Okay, so motion passes 4-0, and Colleen is now a member. Colleen, welcome to our ranks. So
thank you.
Now, I got to look at Maria's resume, which I did look at back in June. I think Larry forwarded it to me. I just didn't realize that she had passed the ADOA screening. I think that Maria is a very impressive woman, and I think that we would be lucky to have her to our IOC. As she said, she's a direct care worker. She provides support for her young sibling. She's got a lot of experience. She was actually a speech and debate team captain for 2 years. So, which obviously, as the chair of my high school debate team, I think is very admirable. Although I graduated in high school in 1980, so I don't know what that's worth. Anyway, does anybody have any questions for Maria? Maria, do you have any questions for us?
Not really. I'm good.
So, Cynthia, Colleen, Pam, and Brad, I need somebody to make a motion that we accept Maria as a member of DDD District West Independent Oversight Committee.
I make a motion that we accept Maria as a member of our Independent Oversight Committee for District West.
And we need a second.
I second the motion. This is Colleen.
Okay. Now, this time, because we actually have five of us, as the chair, I'm not allowed to vote. Is that correct, Larry?
That is correct.
Okay. So I'm asking the four of you if anybody has a negative vote.
No.
Okay. So we can do this by voice vote. I don't have to poll you all. The motion has been made and seconded to accept Maria Blandon as a member of the DDD District West Independent Oversight Committee. How vote you? What say you all?
Aye.
Aye.
Right?
Aye. Okay. So the motion passes 4-0. Maria, congratulations. You are now one of us. You are a full voting member, and you can participate in this meeting just like everybody else can.
Thank you. I'm very excited, and thank you for this opportunity.
We're excited. I don't know if Maria mentioned it in her introduction, but Maria's fluent in Spanish.
Perfect. Wow.
And she's employed by Ideal Care, which those of us here in the West Valley know Ideal Care. And those who know me know that I'm biased toward Ideal Care. I just think that they're an amazing agency. So they're the agency that provided care for my son, Andy. And personal disclosure, the owners are good friends of my husband and I. So I'm being transparent. So, but that's not why I like their agency so much. It's because they provided good care to Andy. So now we can go back to our regular agenda. And the first item is the Disability Rights Arizona Commit Report that's going to be presented to us by Kim Dershaw. Did I pronounce your last name right, Kim?
It's close enough. Dershaw.
Dershaw. So, Kim, welcome. We are very excited. You saw my email, right? To everybody. Mm-hmm. We don't have, just to remind everybody, we do not have the statutory authority to monitor or investigate anything. But Disability Rights Arizona for the next 3 years has the statutory authority to monitor the group homes of specific DDD individuals. So as the District West IOC, where we have a significant number of DDD group homes, it's my opinion that it is in our best interest, in the best interest of the DDD members that we serve, to work collaboratively and supportively with Disability Rights Arizona, especially regarding their commit program. So anything we can do to help them along, and I'm sure for the next 3 years, at least while this program is going, they're going to be more than happy to keep us informed about what's going on with the commit program. So with that, Kim, it is all yours. Thank you.
I have to correct you a little bit there. So it was 3 years as of January 1st, 2023. So we're touching the end of year two. So now it's a year and a couple months. Yeah, unfortunately. But we're just doing a lot right now to try to push support to extend. And I'll kind of go over like the program development status, where we're at and where we're looking to go with it. But am I okay to share my screen? I have a PowerPoint. Do I have that?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, perfect. Okay, let me see if it's giving me the right options. Okay. Sorry. I thought that something else showed up. I got a weird alert thing. Okay. All right, slideshow start. Let me just grab my notes really quick. Okay. All right. So I already did my introduction as far as my experience. So I did say over 16 years experience working in the field. So I'm very well aware of all the issues that have been going on. I have the experience firsthand of being working direct care myself, being a group home manager. I also was a department manager for multiple 26 group homes for vendors. I've done oversight of DTAs. Just about every service you can imagine in developmental homes. So yeah, I'm very, very well aware of everything going on with DDD. So it's been an interesting ride to see everything from this standpoint and actually be able to comment on the goings on, as it were.
Hey, Kim, do you mind if we interrupt you with questions as you go along? Or do finish your presentation?
No, you're okay to ask questions.
Colleen's got a question for you.
Okay. And it's actually not a question as it is. So you're not actually in slide preview. We see all your slides. Is it possible to actually go down to the bottom and put it into the full slide preview? Because we see your slides off to the side. So it's kind of small and your whole screen is.
Well, that's the weird thing, because on mine, it's actually showing them. Yeah, let me try to figure out why it's doing this.
Am I the only one that?
No, I'm seeing it on yours.
Yeah, we can see it all.
Okay.
Oh, you can see it all.
We can see all the slides on the left hand side. Yeah.
It's just not in full screen view in presentation mode. So if you go down to the bottom of your display, you'll see, you know, the little four boxes, and in the far right one closest to your Zoom is full screen. If you want to click on that, it should bring just your one slide up, like in presentation mode.
Is that no?
Well, and it's not that huge of a deal either. So,
We'll model through.
Oh, is that? Are you seeing it now?
No.
This is so bizarre.
It's It's okay, Kim. I don't want to take away your time from presenting. I thought it was an easy fix, but I'm good. I can see the content, I think, as everybody else can. So. You may just need to click on each individual slide, because what's being presented in the main window is just your title slide, your compliance, oversight, monitoring, and investigation. So you may just need to manually click on the left-hand side each individual slide you're speaking to. So we see like slide number 2, slide number 3.
Okay. See, mine isn't doing what yours is doing. That's the odd thing.
It's all right. We'll
maybe
it's okay.
Okay.
Unless did you send it to Michelle?
Yeah. So maybe Michelle has to do it. It's so strange. Because I've done Google screen shares with the DDD group that we meet with monthly, and it works.
Hey Michelle, can you do it?
Sure, I can do that if you want. Oh, well, now it's kind of working. Unless you have it up here, let me just see this.
Doesn't matter, we can do it either way. It doesn't matter.
No, it's not doing it. Yeah, if you want to try it.
Do you have to stop presenting, Kim, for her to present?
Maybe. Okay. That works. So yeah, you can go ahead and jump to the next one. Okay. So this is just the general background for the program. So as far as how it happened. So 2019, the Abuse and Neglect Prevention Task Force convened in response to an executive order to ensure the health and safety of Arizona's most vulnerable citizens. In 2022, House Bill 2865 was passed by the Arizona House and Senate on 6/23/22 and signed into law by the governor on 6/28/22. So what House Bill 2865 did was it amended the Arizona revised statutes to include ARS 36-595.03, which is the Developmental Disabilities Group Home Monitoring Pilot Program, which is us. So in 2023, per the ARS, the Division of Developmental Disabilities were required by the ARS to sign a contract with Disability Rights Arizona, which at the time was Arizona Center for Disability Law, to meet the needs of the ARS contract or the statute. So, yes, and for those who don't know, Arizona Center for Disability Law, now Disability Rights Arizona, is Arizona's protection and advocacy agency. So that's kind of how it came to us. And then if you can go to the next one. Okay. And so I want to clarify, because I did realize this with some of the questions that people were asking. Yes, both of the programs, as it were. So there's monitoring, investigations, and then the third component is just the reporting on the outcomes and recommendations, any kind of systemic issues that we're finding as we're doing the monitoring investigations. However, monitoring and investigations are separate. So the information that you are getting for the data for the investigation final report, that doesn't have anything to do with the monitoring results. So I know a lot of people thought that the incidents, the number of total QOCs, it has nothing to do with the people that we are monitoring. So if you want to go to the next one. And yeah, this is just helpful to kind of show the differences here. So monitoring, we have a fixed amount of individuals, and it differs from the DDD monitoring. They do it vendor home by home. So we are giving a fixed amount of members on a roster from DDD. So our initial roster for 2023 was 175 members. Now, if you notice on the report, it says 176. That's because one of the members were duplicated. So yeah, we received 175 total members in 2023. And as far as who was placed on the list, in the next slide for the monitor, I'm going to go over the complex needs and how that relates. But the members on that roster have been designated by DDD as meeting the criteria for complex needs. So they have to fit into that criteria that DDD and ARS set. So for investigations, it's not a fixed amount. So we receive, and they've been sending them about weekly. Sometimes they miss a week here and there, but they send us all the incidents or complaints that have been categorized as quality of care concerns. So again, that's DDD makes that designation, and we're getting those monthly numbers coming into us. And then we would choose which ones fit into, and the ARS is specific as far as prioritizing neglect, abuse, and safety. So yeah, they're kind of separated. Now, obviously there is some overlap. We've seen some members on the QOC that are the members we're monitoring, but they're two different kind of pools. So with the investigations, because of the QOC, the way it's set up and that we're receiving all of them, it's any member residing in a DDD funded group home. So not just complex needs. It's any member in a DDD funded group home. So then you can go to the next one. So four. Make sure I got that. Actually, now that I'm not sharing, I can move that. Okay. So yeah, for the ARS and our contract, the expectation for monitoring is that we're going to monitor, and we did start in May 2023. That's when we got out the door after we got the initial tool developed and everybody trained and ready to go. So we monitor in person the group homes that provide services to clients with complex needs. Per the ARS, a client with complex needs is a client with dual disorders, including psychiatric disorders and developmental disabilities, who engages in behaviors that are disruptive, socially inappropriate, or harmful, or dangerous to self or others, that interfere with the functioning and quality of life, or that may cause destruction of property. So that's from the ARS. Yeah, do you have a question? Yeah,
Jim, I have a question for you, because as the IOC, we review the incident reports, all of the incident reports in District West.
Okay.
If we come across incident reports relating to a DDD member residing in a group home that we think needs additional review by the commit program, if we obviously we get redacted information, but we do get the case number, the incident report number. If we send you that incident report number, are you able to investigate?
I'll have to bring it back. I can't think of anything in the contract or the ARS. As long as that member and that incident shows up on the QOC, we can investigate.
Okay. Because we have no investigative or monitoring authority.
I did see that in your email, and I was shocked. I didn't realize you couldn't actually go in there.
Nope, we cannot go in there. Huh. The Access Behavior Health IOC can go in. We can't go in. All we can do is ask questions of DDD, and if we don't like the information that we get in our meetings, or we don't think that it's comprehensive enough, then we send a list of questions to ADOA.
Mm-hmm.
And they forward it to the appropriate part of DDD, and they have 21 days to answer our question. And if we're not satisfied with the answers, then we kick it to the ADOA director. Okay. And then we go from there. But that's the DDD IFCs we have our specific protocol, and that's our only statutory authority, is just to ask questions in a public meeting. So that's why I'm asking if our incident report numbers are the same incident report numbers that you're getting, so that you could then follow up and do the investigation that we can't do. And I'm not saying that you could then report back to us. Because we don't have a number.
We don't get numbers. We have the member's name and access number. Yeah, so they don't, there's no other code or number associated.
Okay.
Yeah, so that would be a problem. That is interesting.
Hey, Leah.
I just want to chime in a little bit and let you know that, as you know, incidents are all triaged within the division, and that anything that is a quality of care concern would be made available to Kim's team. So you can know that those QOCs for those members are in fact in their hands.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So they will have the number. And what I, more than anything, I'm just looking for tracking and trending. I'm not saying that DDD is not taking care of our people in any way. I'm just saying that you're doing this oversight. So if we see something that concerns us, we want to make sure that we convey that information to you, because you're an outside agency and you have this ability. But I can tell you right now, with Delora Grant back in the job, I'm not worried about our District West people. So
that's good.
You don't know Delora. Maybe you do know Delora, but if you knew her, you would agree with me.
That's very important, especially right now. Absolutely. So let me just see where I am. Okay, yeah, so I think I'm in the next one. So the ARS monitoring focus areas. Okay, so this is interesting. These are the areas as it's laid out in the ARS. So monitor in person the group homes that provide service to clients with complex needs to determine at a minimum whether services received. So the client with complex needs receives the services identified in the client's person-centered service plan, including medication monitoring and habilitation treatment as applicable. Are the services effective? So the provision of services identified in the person-centered service plan of the client with complex needs has been effective in addressing the client's complex needs. Services reduced behaviors. So the services have resulted in a reduction in the behaviors that interfered with the ability of the client with the complex needs to live safely in the community. And the final one, which I am not a fan of because it's not quite written properly, is the interventions. I called it the interventions and behavior plan, but all physical interventions used by the group home staff have complied with the behavioral treatment plan of the client and the complex needs and applicable state laws. So I don't know if, oh, go ahead.
What I'm not seeing here, and I know if I didn't jump in, Cynthia's going to jump in. What I'm not seeing here is that you're looking at the services that are being received by the integrated health plan and whether or not they're adequate to meet the individual's needs.
Well, we are, in a way. So that's a thing that I'm really particular about, and one of the things that more and more this year we've been pushing. The person-centered service plans, and I'll kind of go over that more as far as the results. We've been strongly suggesting retraining of support coordination.
I'm not insinuating. My concern is a communication concern, that these individuals do not understand or the people responsible to help them get the supports and services that they're entitled to do not understand all the supports and services that they're entitled to from their integrated care plan. I'm not insinuating that either Mercy Care or United is not meeting their needs. My concern is that their needs are being properly communicated to their health plan so that they can utilize all the resources available to them through that health plan. I just want to make sure that's clear on the record.
I would love to jump in here to you because I cannot shut up. I agree with Dee. I don't believe that the issue is actually a United Healthcare or Mercy Care issue necessarily. I think it is a group home issue and a lack of training of their staff and understanding the medical issues that might be facing those in a group home. And crossing off the list a visit to primary care once a year and counting that as actual health care is not adequate nor acceptable. And when I review the behavioral health plans, often I wonder if they've ever had a legitimate, really good evaluation from a doctor. Now, whose fault is that? DDD? Maybe a little bit. But really, if we really ask whose fault it is, it's the medical care system and the discrimination they have against those with developmental disabilities and the group homes that don't understand that. And I am very bothered by the actual lack of medical care that is happening in group homes.
Yeah, I agree. And lack of awareness of pretty much part of that is the services involved. We're having a hard time finding out even the clarity of what's been offered in the past as far as nonverbal members. Well, have they been assessed for speech evaluations? If so, what was the outcome? We had one member that they bought a shower chair because she was suddenly unstable on her feet. And that blew my mind because it's okay. Did you evaluate why she's suddenly unstable on her feet? Let's go there. So there's been a lot of those issues that are so very concerning when you have, part of it is the team and the support coordinator as well, just making sure that the member knows what's available and the individuals know what's available to them. That's been a problem. I mean, the documentation of the other services, behavioral health has been a big one for us, seeing that, so this should at least show up in at least in non-Altex if it's not DDD funded, but oftentimes that's been a significant trend is that they are not documenting the behavioral health services that the member's receiving or any other kind of therapeutic services. So then
and they're not also evaluating, because the thing that's making me crazy when I read these reports is that a lot of times maybe they don't need behavioral health. Maybe they actually need medical care. So some of the violent behaviors we're seeing in nonverbal people is not that they need behavioral health. It's that they're having a seizure disorder that they've never been evaluated for appropriately. And we have no medical system that is doing a good job of that. I will say DMG really wants to have a clinic where they can evaluate both behavioral health and medical with specialists, but we have to fund it.
Yeah.
And I don't believe it's funded right now. So the only time that I see somebody in a group home getting a proper medical evaluation is if a medical director from Access or the health plans is involved.
Mm-hmm.
Either that or I mean, we have to remember that a lot of these people don't have advocates for themselves. They may not have a parent or somebody looking out after them. Or Diana Davis Wilson, who refuses to provide behavioral health services without a medical evaluation. And I know I'm preaching to the choir, and I'm really cranky today, so I apologize. But I would love to see your organization track some of this other medical issues, because I really think it's profound neglect.
No, that's and I'll kind of get into it as far as the updates for the program. But we have a much more comprehensive tool that's going to do some digging into the health needs, medical diagnosis, what's been done, is there proper follow-up. So yeah, it's going to provide a ton of that data and tracking. So yeah, but I can get into that in a little bit. The issue with number the D there for the ARS, though, is physical interventions aren't typically written out, like as far as what restraints and whatnot. So that's a weird one to answer, but we are at least assessing whether or not they have a current behavior plan, and the data has not been great with vendors being Article 9 compliant. So we'll get into all that too. But yeah, so these are the ARS areas that we are tasked with reviewing. However, if you look at them long enough, which of course they have, like you can actually go deep, and like it actually includes quite a different things. So like the incident reporting, even that with the physical intervention, are they being documented and reported properly? Yeah, so you can go, it kind of leaves us a lot of room for that comprehensive tool to look at a lot of different factors that could impact these four areas. So that's good. But yeah, it's taken some time to develop all the measures that we need to get good data.
Hey, Colleen, did you have a question? Your hand's up and Cynthia's hand is still up.
I think Cynthia's just high-fiving me. Yep. And I just have a quick question, and I may be getting ahead of you, but does any of this monitoring solicit or generate any solutions? Like from the discovery of D, you now have a required, you know, training. To Cynthia's points, are we from all of this, you know, reviewing of the system, what system improvements are coming out of it? So what action is being taken from your monitoring and oversight? Are you going to be getting to that in your presentation? Did I ask prematurely?
Yeah, a bit. That's okay.
Sorry. I will remain quiet.
No, it's okay. And yeah, we kind of talk about outcomes that we're looking for and yeah, what we're going to be doing with it. But yeah, I'll get there. Then if you just want to go to the investigations. So yeah, so again, per the ARS, we're tasked with investigating quality of care complaints received by the designated entity, which is us, concerning any group home funded by the department. So DDD forwards all quality of care complaints to us for investigation. The department shall identify quality of care complaints related to abuse, neglect, and client safety as priorities for investigation. So I'm not going to really go over our data because we haven't officially reported that for the annual. So in 2023, by the time we finalized the protocol for the investigations program, it was already about mid-August. So we didn't have any finalized closed investigations in December. And so this is also the thing that I think confused a lot of people. So the data that we are providing, we are doing an analysis of all the QOCs and the breakdown of all the vendors involved, the ages, members and the number of members included, and I think some of that was redacted, so I'm not sure. I'll have to double check the report that you got with the redactions, but we had to take any kind of personally identifying information out of them. So this has been more of a challenge, I'll be honest, with the commit investigations, because all the variables, all the different things that we are going to be, that we're starting to look at, how deep do we go? So this has been a work in progress to get us to a point where we can kind of stay in parameters, but still address the issues and get some solid data reporting and substantiated versus unsubstantiated. And I'll kind of explain, I think I have it in my thing later. Oh, okay. Yeah, it's the next slide. Okay. So while we were waiting for the final protocol to get approved, so investigators were completing monitoring visits during that stage through May through August. Investigation assignments started in August 2023. 12 investigations were assigned to 4 commit investigators from August 18th to December 31st. So there's been a lot of work just to develop the program. So we found out, at least DDD QOC investigations, they typically do not request police reports. So we had to find our own channels to get police reports, which we were successful at. So we have been receiving them now. And then we also, it took a bit to get the subcontracts through approval process through DDD. But we were able to get an RN. So she's starting. I just created a whole process for her to do review and feedback. So she's now our nursing consultant. And though she's kind of prioritized for investigations, she is available for the monitoring as well. Cynthia?
So I just had a question. I believe that DDD has stated that they possibly have a pilot program where they're looking at incident reports at group homes. So I'm just curious if you found that to be true, if DDD does have access to the number of group homes utilizing 911, and if that data is being shared with you.
Oh, there is another ARS. And starting January of 2024? Yeah, it was 2024. We did get that. And per that, it doesn't sound like they had the capability to provide all the information. So come next, so we should get the next one January 2025. So yeah, we're hoping to see more of that.
What information was missing?
I don't have a letter right in front of me.
I would love to see that, because I believe it was my suggestion several years ago that DDD actually track the incident reports of group homes utilizing 911, and then look at retraining some of those group homes that are overusing that service. So are you allowed to share that information with us?
I don't know. I'm going to have to ask JJ, because okay. Yeah, I know the ARS kind of, it's stipulated who it could go to.
Thank you. I would really appreciate it if we could find out.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. Let me make a quick note of that so I don't forget. The follow-up.
And Cynthia, just to remind you, you know, as an IOC, we're welcome to ask all the questions we want. We can ask for all the information we want. Whether they give it to us or not is another question, but we can always ask. All it takes is a motion, a second, and a affirmative vote.
It's interesting that they didn't send it to the IOC, because it really is just numbers more than anything. Okay, so 12 investigations. Yeah, so there's still program development going on. and I'll kind of get to it again, but I'm very excited because we did some restructuring. So when Gail retired, instead of getting another program coordinator to replace me, I ended up electing for two program leads. So I now have a monitoring lead and an investigations lead. And our investigations lead comes with considerable experience doing creating investigation units for DES, OIG. So we are thrilled. So she just finished onboarding and she's already got some amazing ideas to really help that program. So that's going to be a real asset going forward. So, okay, so then that's. And part of that is doing more of a root cause analysis. So we're not looking at just, did it happen? Did it not happen? What are the contributing factors? So for even, and I'll get into it with the monitoring tool improvement, but we dig. We want to know what caused this and how it can be corrected, and solutions that are sustainable and functional for vendors as well as DDD. So yeah, a lot of work's gone into that one. And then you can go to the next one. And then, yeah, I think it's just a, yeah. Okay. So these are the outcomes. And I didn't go over all the QOC data because then if you want to look at it in the report, we can provide it in that. But it's not our data. It's the QOC analysis. So it's always weird to be reporting on that, at least from my standpoint. So 2023 commit monitoring, like I said, we had 175 total members. We completed monitoring reviews from May through December 2023, and that was 122 reviews. Of the 175 members, we had we closed assignments. Now, what it means when we close them, they no longer reside in a group home. So 11 of them were closed out because they moved out of group home residential settings. So at the end of 2023, we had 42 remaining. DDD approved us to be able to just make that up for the next 2 years. So for 2024 and 2025, we only have 8 remaining now. Some of those 8 have moved a bit or they were in prolonged hospitalizations. Two were incarcerated. There's been some extenuating circumstances that we couldn't complete all of them, but we're getting there. And so I'm going to get ahead of the other question that I know you're going to ask. So we did get a total. So there was a delay in us getting the 2024 roster. So we didn't get it until, first in March, but when it was sent to us in March, it didn't have the group home addresses. It only had main addresses. And it was considerable amount of time trying to track them down and figure out who we're assigning them to. Oh, Brad's leaving. We received a final one with the current addresses in April. So there's 491 total if you add the 175 in. Go ahead, Cynthia.
Who was the person who was not providing the accurate information?
DDD. They had to do manual pulls to get individuals who were considered complex needs.
And so, do you know if that's still true? Is it still a manual process?
As far as I know, yeah. I mean, they don't have a way to sort that out prior to this, because like I said, the prior monitoring, they were going vendor to vendor or home to home address, so it kind of created a new thing for them to have to categorize. So it took some time, but now we have the full amount for the entire contract. So they sent us everything, which is 491 total. So that's including the 175. So for the 3-year total, there's 490 people, 491 to be exact. And we're about halfway through with that amount, so that's decent. So yeah, 491 completed. Okay, so then if you want to go to the next slide. So these are, at least for 2023, the overall major concerning numbers that were all 50% and higher. So that's the percentage of the reviews, the monitoring reviews that were completed that had significant issues in these areas. So member goal quality and the documentation of goal progress, 77% of the vendors had issues going on there. So, and I think I'm going to be duplicating information, but to explain that a little bit further, just inconsistent documentation, blanks without proper coding. So it couldn't really verify whether goals were consistently completed on a regular basis. Go ahead, Deidre.
Yeah. Who had the inconsistent documentation? Was it
vendors.
It was the vendor, it wasn't the support coordinator.
No, but person-centered service plan, 73% have inaccurate or unclear data regarding services, goals. So yeah, part of that goal issue thing for the members is also the goals were not matching what was on the person-centered service plan as
so
well.
So just to bring you up to speed, because this is the first time that you've attended the DDD District West IOC.
Mm-hmm.
We sound like a broken record the last 6 years that I've been on the District West IOC. We have hammered accurate, transparent, and consistent documentation from DDD. and we have hammered the fact that it is not aspirational, it is required.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that we can do, as you find this information, please let us know, because we are ready, willing, and able to collaborate with Disability Rights Arizona. We do an annual report where we make recommendations. That annual report is read by the legislature. We are one of five DDD IOCs, and I can guarantee you District Central and District North are eager to collaborate and cooperate with Disability Rights Arizona on these issues as much as we are. So just let us know how we can help.
All right. Yeah, I'd definitely like to talk to you about that. Because that's a huge pet peeve of mine. Coming from vendor agencies, documentation is essential. It's appalling for me and my soul as a professional who has been responsible for member care. Like, you document everything, you show your work that, you know, the members' needs are met, you proper goal documentation, proper behavior tracking. That's been a significant concern, is either lack of tracking or documentation or just poor quality. Lack of consistency among person-centered service plan, vendor documentation, and the behavior treatment plan, where you're seeing three versions of pretty much member care that don't marry up. So yeah, that's been an issue. A big thing that we've been assessing is the person-centered service plan, inaccurate, unclear data and documentation. We've received quite a few that are not signed by the guardian or member if they're their own guardian. Services are inaccurate, authorizations aren't current, goals aren't filled out properly, any number of other issues. So as we get that more comprehensive tool, it's going to actually break that up and give us better numbers as to the specific section areas that are lacking in quality, I guess is the nice way to say it. So also group home staff knowledge and training concerns. And you kind of talked a little bit about them just not even understanding medical conditions. We've gone into homes and people don't even know what we're asking for. We're asking about their person-centered services, the services that are in their plan and the goals, and we're getting blank looks. So about 62%, yeah, there was some sort of training, specific area training that we recommended due to issues as far as medication administration not being, so 27%, and I have this on the side here, 27% of the homes had medication errors of some sort. Most of them, as far as we can ascertain, were documentation errors, so there was blanks. Not proper error corrections, so it made it very confusing to even to review to see what was happening with the medication administration. 59% of the homes, they didn't have the required documents available on site. And that is based on the DDD rule book for monitoring and their own like ARS and policy. Incident reporting. Now this one, 58% were not in compliance. And what we mean by that is there was suggestion. We couldn't get specifics for dates. Otherwise, we did report them as incidents if we got more specific information. But we're talking about there's behavior tracking that's showing that the member had self-injury or things that could actually be reportable per Chapter 70 for the DDD Provider Policy Manual for incident reporting. And we even had some interesting responses by a number of vendors that they didn't believe that any kind of targeted behaviors needed to be reported as incidents. The only reason I'm saying that is because it came from quite a few vendors that they had that idea in their head. We did tell DDD that, and we were told that they were going to communicate and remind vendors of Chapter 70 and that's the guidelines that they need to follow. So, but yeah, there's also things that, oh yeah, they've had behaviors, they've pushed somebody. Okay, well, do you have a record of that? No, I thought somebody sent it. So there's a lot of that going around. 59% of the homes were out of compliance with their behavior treatment plans. So that's on there. So that means either they didn't have a plan or the plan was outdated. Meaning it hadn't been reviewed for the annual PRC review. So, okay, so that was that. Incident compliance, I'm out of that. Okay, I think I hit all of the main ones there. Another thing, my pet peeve with the, just a quick one I noticed, I noted a note here, action plans in the person-centered service plan, there's outstanding member needs that need to be followed up on, and oftentimes action plans are blank. In fact, the overwhelming majority are blank, or support coordinator will send the plan to the team. Go ahead, Cynthia.
I have another question. One of the things, other things I noticed from reading some of these behavior plans is the person is nonverbal, and it doesn't appear like they've been offered a AAC device or trained with that device. And I'm wondering if you're finding that, if you're going to be tracking that and giving feedback around that issue?
Yes, with the comprehensive, we're going to get more data on that. So the current tool is, it's a lot of narrative. So there's a lot to pull out of it. So our staff or our monitors are aware that that's an issue and they are asking to figure out what the status is. The more comprehensive tool, I think I kind of hit on it. If they're nonverbal, have they received a speech about what was the outcome? Because we have been told by some of the vendors that, yeah, they did, but we were told that they didn't qualify for speech therapy. Now, we don't have all the information on that, but then part of being nonverbal, you still have to support them in a communication style. So the new tool is going to go over, well, have they utilized the picture exchange systems, PECs, or, you know, AUGCOM devices, So yeah, we're going to get deep into that one. Go ahead, Deidre.
Yeah, when you're doing your investigation, obviously you're going into the group home, you're talking to the support coordinator. Do you have any you're not talking to the support coordinator?
No, if we're not, we were told that, no, that's not.
I assume that you also have no communication with the integrated health plan or any of the providers on the health plan.
Well, for investigations, that's different. For monitoring, we have to keep it to vendor services. They're the ones who can release the information to us. For investigations, if somebody else is involved, we have had success in reaching them. So like behavior coaching, we've been able to talk to behavior coaches who were involved or familiar with the situations. I think speech therapists we've spoken to. So yeah, we are talking to other service providers, not like the healthcare, no one above DDD. It'd have to be direct service provider to the member.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if there's a way, because again, you know, I don't want to point fingers at Mercy Care and United when you have no way to gather that information. So if they don't know that there's a need, they can't provide services for the need.
Okay.
So I'm wondering how we bridge that gap.
Well, we're going to get some good numbers. Like I said, I'm going to go over the qualitative tool. And at the very least, that's going to shed a ton of light on so many different areas of need for the members. And it's going to go into occupational therapy services and speech therapy, and have they been reviewed, and what are the responses that they are getting when they're trying to get these services. So yeah, that's going to give us a lot more data. Colleen?
This may be an unrelated question, but maybe something that I can just maybe bring up is, so individuals in group homes are, especially with complex needs, how are they being aligned with the contract required behavioral health member advocate within the DDD and health plan, assigned health plan? So, you know, there are contract required advocates. So if somebody's needs aren't being met, is there a process or a workflow that a member advocate gets aligned to that member in a group home?
You know what? That's one of the issues with the current person-centered service plan, inadequate documentation, because most of the times there's that advocacy component and the support coordinator is supposed to check if they have one. That's very rarely completed. We'll once in a while see who that person is, but yeah, if somebody doesn't give us that information, we don't have it.
Okay. Was that identified as a training need as one of the outcomes, or am I jumping ahead again?
We're getting much more specific for 2024. It's going to be. There's okay. Going to be a lot more information about like the areas of improvement needed as far as the person-centered service plan documentation. We do a pretty thorough assessment of that.
Thank you.
Okay. And then I think I kind of jumped the gun, but if you want to go to the next one.
I have a quick question.
Oh, sure.
We have Christina Hedges in the meeting. I think you're still here, right, Christina?
I sure am, Dee.
Okay. So Christina is the former behavior health advocate for DDD, and now the behavior health advocate for DDD works for Christina since she's the current OIFA director. So Christina, is your office working with Disability Rights Arizona as they're bringing these issues to your attention? Is there some mechanism so that they can get the identities of these individuals whose needs are not being met to your office so that you can help make sure that their needs do get met? If that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's a really good question.
I'm not sure.
Again, it's a communication issue. We can't hold you accountable for not doing what is not brought to your attention.
Leah, do you have some insight on that?
What I want to share is that the division does have a team of folks, Christina, not directly involved at this time yet, that are reviewing every one of the recommendations and every one of the feedback findings from Disability Rights Arizona. And the division does have, through this work that they're doing, making, prioritizing things that need to be done and making plans for that. And so Christina would not directly be able to answer that tonight, Dee, but the division is in fact at learning and embracing the facts that we're learning from Disability Rights Arizona and making a plan on every one of those.
Well, Leah, I'm hoping that DDD does develop a communication mechanism with AZ Disability Rights so that when they do identify an individual that needs the assistance of Christina's team, it happens ASAP. There's some sort of communication mechanism in there, because I know from my experience, and you know because you get my emails, when I send something to Christina's team, they're on it and they take care of it.
And we appreciate your recognition of that. And thank you for the feedback, Dee.
Yeah, we just started working with a work group headed by Sherry Wins. So that started, I believe, at the end of last month. So, we've been working with them to make sure that they understand what the recommendations are that we're making and responding to them. So, yeah, we have been assured they're strategizing how to attack the needs the best that they can. Go ahead, Pam.
I may be jumping the gun here too, if so, I apologize. But on your previous slides where you showed the percentage of issues, and I hear, Leah, that those are being evaluated and looked at as far as training needs and so on, but are individual members' needs being addressed at the time those are being recognized? Or is it just the cumulative that we're looking at right now?
So you're looking at the cumulative. So we actually, it's broken down on a spreadsheet by a specific member. So we're giving kind of the focus areas feedback on our monitoring review data report that we're sending to DDD. So yeah, they have the member name, they have the vendor information person or the support coordinator assigned, and then also recommendations from us as far as specific needs that aren't being met. And that could be, you know, the vendor needs more training on proper documentation processes, and we get more specific depending on what it is, as well as sometimes that when we're interviewing the members, they tell us something that they want. So we try to make it clear what it is, if it's something that's been requested or if during the review something came up and the member did ask for something additional. So we're absolutely putting that on for the specific members.
So who follows up on what the individual members then?
So that's what the work group's kind of doing. So they kind of task up our recommendations and responses. So to the support coordinator, to the vendor, so whoever can directly resolve the issue, that's what's been communicated to us anyway.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So yeah.
A question, sorry. Mm-hmm. Are you getting the impression that DDD is taking this more seriously? My understanding is Zane's response at your initial report was that they keep score differently, and he didn't seem to be taking your report as seriously as we would want him to. Have you seen a difference in how DDD is treating you and your documentation?
I think they'd be more responsive. The work group, and that's my personal opinion, I really like the work group that we're just you know, assigned and who's involved now. Before, we weren't getting very specific questions about the recommendations that we made. So I feel like they're actually listening, hearing what we're saying, trying to understand it and resolve it on their end. So yeah, I've actually seen more of a response and interest from DDD.
Thank you.
Oh, no worries. Deidre?
Yeah, just for the record, those of us who have worked with Sherry Wentz, mm-hmm. her reputation precedes her.
Oh, and good.
I would expect nothing less than excellence. And I will make sure that I shoot her an email. And I'll bet you she will be helping you to devise some sort of a communication path
mm-hmm.
so that those immediate needs are brought to the attention of Christina and her OIFA staff. And okay. they assist and make sure that those members who have immediate needs, those needs are taken care of. Again, it's a communication issue. We mm-hmm. have individuals who work for DDD, like Christina, like Leah, like the vast majority of the CARES staff who want to take care of these needs, but we can't hold them accountable unless those needs are brought to their attention. So mm-hmm.
it's good to know. That's good feedback about Sherry. Yeah, no, I've been impressed so far.
Yeah, Sherry's the best.
That's awesome. Yeah, and we seem to be on the same page about a lot of the things that we're reporting, and her response has been appropriate and supportive. So it's been good. So yeah, I think I kind of jumped the gun and kind of explained these as we went along. I don't know if everyone's familiar with SMART goals. But yeah, the goals that we're reading are just very poor quality. And if they can't be measured, if they're not actionable, we've seen where goals are, there's like three goals in one. So then it's like, well, which one are you tracking? Which one are they being successful at completing? You need to know, like, what skill are you building here specifically? So, and the interesting thing with this one that kind of frustrates me is DDD did this. They did a huge training, and I'm not sure if they called it SMART goals, but they did this formulaic thing. But it might have been 2010, 2012, somewhere around there, where all the support coordinators seem to have this heightened expectation for the goal quality. But then that just, fell through the cracks after that. So we'd like to see improvement in goal quality just to assist with member skill development. And a big part of that was their goals are mastered, but then they're not changed, or they're underperforming. And so they're not like increasing the prompt level. They're not adapting it to ensure skill development and skills success, really. And again, I went over all the numbers for the group home training. So go to the next one. And yeah, those are the issues that we've been seeing with that. I think I already said that not reporting target behaviors. Like I said, I've been in the field for 16 years. I've never heard anybody say that before, so I was a little confused. But yeah, that came from quite a few vendors that they thought they didn't have to report target behaviors. And not all of them qualify under Chapter 70, but those that do need to be reported. And these are the specific numbers. So the total, I believe, was 59% for they're just out of compliance for Article 9. But the more concerning number is that 43% of members had no approved behavior treatment plan. That's a pretty overwhelming number when you consider the language of Article 9 saying that it's prohibited to have members on psychotropic medication without a behavior treatment plan. So, yeah, that's concerning. And then 18% of those members were past due for their annual PRC review. And then if you want to go to the next one. So based on these concerns that we saw, our recommendations with DDD, division and vendor training on proper member goal development and process to increase goal quality standards and skill development. So education on SMART goals, division support coordinator retraining on the person-centered service plan document completion, system of checks and balances to improve accuracy and consistency. Division support coordinator improvement for documenting member services and proper follow-up for outstanding service requests and delivery. Improvement in division standards for vendor group home staff training curriculum. Enhanced division monitoring with follow-up in-person visits, including vendor consultations, trainings for vendors not in compliance with policy requirements. Division PRC vendor accountability for member plan completion and monitoring. So a tracking system for all members prescribed psychotropic medication. So that's what we're recommending, is some sort of DDD tracking system, just so that there's some way for them to be able to gauge if somebody's either not updating the plan or there's an outstanding, the member doesn't have a BTP. Also improved vision monitoring of vendor incident reporting practices. So this kind of goes along with some of the things you've been saying as far as just the data on their side. Because as I've had the QOC data, sometimes you can just see things when you're kind of breaking the data down or doing analysis. So just a more efficient way to cross-track, even like behavior tracking with the incidents reported, or if you're hearing a lot of external complaints or concerns, so allegations coming from the DTA or the support coordinator, but you're not getting incident reports that are written by the vendor, that's a problem. Like, you know, you can see that if you start to break down the numbers. Go ahead, Deidre.
Yeah, we've been hammering this for the last 6 years that I've been on the IOC, and we keep being told that when DDD switches to the Access incident report system, that things should improve. And of course, we've been hearing that now for 3 or 4 years. So supposedly that's coming any day now. But I think if we all keep hammering.
Okay. Yeah. And I had a kind of a talk with them because I didn't realize that. And I was asking kind of some of these questions with Carl Burke and Doris, who is over the QOC. So, I was a little shocked because they said they didn't have that access.
Well, we here in District West, just so you know, we have our own secret weapon. We have Delora Grant. So,
there you go.
If we have specific incidents that are egregious, we bring them to her attention immediately.
Well, that's good. Yeah, it's all about those contacts and knowing the right people to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a data person. So when people don't have proper data on things, it fills me with fear, because how much is happening that you can't see? Like, numbers do tell a story. You've got to look for the patterns. And if you don't have any numbers to be able to compare them, you have no idea what's going on. And that's scary to me. Okay, so if you want to go to the next one. So I believe these were the goals that we had for 2024 in the 2023 report. So I'm just kind of giving you status updates since it's, and it closing in on the end of the year. So revised monitoring tool and commit database. This was a feat in and of itself. So we were really hoping to have this much earlier. But because of how comprehensive it is and how much deep dives and, if yes, then ask these questions. You can't imagine the amount of time that we've tried to play with different formatting to get everything clear so that we have standardization for the data collection for all the monitors and everybody is understanding exactly what we need to ask all the questions to quantify all the information. So we thought we had a database person through Protection and Advocacy, National Disability Rights Organizations. But after we met with them multiple times, it their system wouldn't work for what we needed it to be. So then we went to the drawing board for find other ways to do what we needed it to do. And so finally, and we just signed a contract with a company called Qualtrics. And so they do marketing surveys. They've worked with multiple other state organizations for data collection purposes. So this thing's amazing. It has AI technology. So it's going to be a beautiful thing. Right now, there's a lot of manual review of all the monitoring reports to ensure consistency, and that's pretty much on me. So the 15th of the month, when we have to send our report to DDD, I don't sleep much because I'm just trying to go through and make sure that I'm verifying everything that we're reporting and that we're getting as much consistency as possible for what we're turning in. So I cannot wait for this new tool. It's going to be absolutely amazing. It can even do like cross-tracking of documents for us. So it's going to be able to produce some solid information.
So, Kim, I'm looking at the clock and we're at 7:40 and I know we started late. No, you're okay. What I'm wondering is whether or not, as the IOC, we can get a copy of your monthly reports if they're redacted of any HIPAA identifying information.
I don't know. I'll have to ask. It's a lot of I'll have to ask the powers that be. That's above my head. But yeah, I'll look into that. Let me make a little note.
If you can't let us know, and in September, we'll make the request to DDD through ADOA, and we'll go from there. If they tell us no, they tell us no, and we have procedures that we can follow.
Okay. I want to give you the heads up because that's one of the things. It's really hard to fit the monitoring results into the tool that we have because it's Excel, because of all the things that we're looking at. So it's not pretty. So part of the first meetings with Sherry was kind of translating it to some extent so that we're both on the same page about what's being recommended. But yeah, no, I'll follow up and see what has to happen to do that. Okay, cool. Okay, so then the next one is, the follow-up monitoring visit. So so that was finalized. So this is pretty much based on to see if there has been follow-up or improvements for the monitoring visits that we've already completed. So we had to kind of play with different ways in order to get that information that had been submitted to DDD to the follow-up monitor to complete the visit. So that will be starting to be piloted next month, so starting in September. So excited about that. That's happening. Investigations, protocol, procedure, revisions. Like I said, I'm thrilled to death to have that new lead investigator assisting with the program development for that. And there's going to be a lot more time and effort dedicated to get more criteria and standards for the investigation. And then, yeah, like I said, we identified contractors, experts. We found the nursing consultant who's currently reviewing an investigation. And we just had the feedback from, I'm calling him a data collection or data expert, but so he's been in the field quite a bit, does functional behavior assessments. So we wanted him to evaluate the tool, the comprehensive tool, to make sure that we're not doing leading questions, that we're clear. So it was kind of just some sort of external person to review it.
And just to wrap up, you guys you're done December 1, 2025. Is that correct?
Yes.
When your authorization runs out?
We're just getting it extended. But yes, the moment, that's the end.
And you will be doing that next session? You'll be trying to get extended?
Yes.
All right, so let us know how we can help.
Okay, absolutely.
Yeah, totally willing to testify, and I was highly supportive of the original bill, so.
Awesome. I appreciate it because, I mean, 3 years to develop a program from scratch, it's just not enough time. I mean, even just to get the processes and find the channels of communication and develop something that fits this, the ARS model, and then beyond that. So, yeah, I mean, 3 years, I can't believe it's already end of August. That's unbelievable to me. So, yeah. Thank you. I would definitely share whatever I can as far as all that.
Does anybody have any follow-up questions for Kim?
Nope.
Do you have any closing remarks, Kim?
Wait, I have one.
Go for it.
Do you feel now, Kim, that your project is being well received by both Access DDD and providers? And do you have any concerns about any of those three groups holding your project back?
I don't know of any specific pushback. I know a lot of the vendors, it's more an education thing. They weren't familiar with what we're doing. They were confused. And putting on my vendor hat, I can understand that. Like, who are you coming at us? We have another monitor. So I do understand that viewpoint. I try to teach the monitors when they go in to say, you know, we're looking at ways to improve the system as a whole. So we also ask them for their input. What are barriers for them being able to get the services that the member needs? So we are trying to approach it for their feedback as well. And we have had some interesting feedback from them that we put on the report to DDD as well, as far as a lot of them are very unhappy because they can't do change of ISPs and that's delaying their behavior treatment plan approvals. So we've let them know about that. Also, person-centered service plans not being updated or accurate has been a barrier for behavior treatment plans to be approved. So yeah, we're trying to make it clear that, you know, we're not out to get anybody here. We want to see systemic improvements. What's hindering your own services? So yeah, I don't know of any particular pushback.
Thank you.
No problem.
Do you have any concluding remarks, Kim?
No, I just love the support. So thank you so much. And yeah, I'd love to talk further. And if you want any additional presentations, more than happy. Yeah, the more education, the more people know about what we're doing, the better.
You are especially welcome to join us anytime. And anything that you can share with us is greatly appreciated. And if you can't share that monthly report with us, let me know and we'll pursue it through our channels.
Okay, definitely. Yeah, I'm not even sure if that's us or if it DDD would have to do it. So yeah, I'll have to bring it to JJ and DDD to get approval.
Okay. In this slide presentation, you gave it to Michelle, and it'll be part of our open meeting record, right? It'll be part of our agenda.
Yeah. She should have it on a PDF.
Okay. Because Larry says, because of the open meeting laws, even though Larry's not with us anymore, unfortunately, he's not feeling well tonight. Okay. So he left us, but we've asked Larry before, and according to Larry, any PowerPoint presentations that are presented at our meetings are supposed to be part of our meeting record. So it's supposed to be published and available to the public.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think there's any pushback. I did share it with JJ, so I don't think it's going to be too shocking. It doesn't have any PII in it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can't present any HIPAA protected information at an open meeting. So,
right, that's what I figured.
Thank you very much.
All right, no problem.
Next thing on our agenda is the update on the DDD IOC statewide chair meeting that I attended last month. I'm going to give you guys a quick update. We actually had presentations by both APS and DCS. Unfortunately, the presentation by DCS seriously missed the boat. It was the kind of presentation that we hate to get here at District West. It was their general public presentation, and it was not DDD specific. We've asked for better information. The presentation by APS, and Michelle can provide both of those presentations to anybody who's interested, was much better. There's a much better cooperative relationship between APS and DDD. My suspicion is that's because they're all part of DES, that they're both part of the same agency. But the individual, the two individuals from APS who presented to us answered our questions and offered to get any additional information that we needed. And they're working on their relationship with DDD in their process. And if we have any questions about that, we can ask Delora and she can get us that information, or we can invite the individuals from APS to come do the presentation for us if you're interested. Hey, Delora.
So APS has dedicated DDD investigators. I don't know if you're aware of that. I was the first APS dedicated DDD investigator that they had years ago. So that's why they're able to provide more personal, more understanding towards DDD, is because they do have investigators that only investigate DDD APS cases.
Yeah, and they were great, the two APS people, especially the gentleman, and I don't have his name written down here right now. But I think it was Anthony. I have it written down. It was Anthony Spadaro. And he is actually one of those APS DDD investigators. So he said any questions we have, he'd be more than willing to come to our meeting and answer our questions. So, but I'm telling you, Delora, we're so excited to have you back. You are our woman. You're our quality woman. So we will be asking you. And if you can't answer it, then you can advise us to get Anthony over here to answer those questions, or whoever else to answer those questions. So I don't know if you remember, but when I first got on the IOC, you promised me that if a situation ever came to our attention that there was a quality problem and it needed immediate intervention, all I had to do was email you. And so, I mean, I know you're the one. So between you and Christina, our people here in District West are taken care of. So.
So, and I think you got a little miffed at me when you wanted me to respond to an email, but it had a member name in it. I was like, sorry,
okay.
Cannot.
It's all right.
Nope. But
it's okay. You never need to respond to my emails. You just need to take care of the situation. You don't
have
Diane, to respond to me.
Diane is very responsive also. So.
Yeah. Yep. But as long as we know that it's taken care of, we're very happy. So. I'm just looking at my notes from the meeting. And I am really not seeing anything more besides those two presentations. So we can move on to the next item. Michelle, did I miss anything from that meeting? Was just the two presentations, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. So does anybody, we're now on to item number three. Does anybody have any discussion, review, or possible action regarding any policy issues of concern to IOC members, including any requests for education presentations? Okay, before we go there, just so that you all know, my job between now and the September meeting is to write our annual report, and I will send that to you all before the meeting. And so then you'll have to adopt that report. We'll have to get it to Larry. I am not going to be here for the October meeting. I'm going to be on vacation. So Cynthia is responsible for moderating the October meeting. I'll try to join. I'm going to be on the road somewhere on the beaches in North Carolina. So I can't guarantee what my internet accessibility will be, or whether I prefer to drink on the beach with my husband instead of attending the meeting. But
I hope you are.
Anyway,
I have a question, Dee. And I just need to know if this is appropriate or not. I know that District West sees it's mostly DDD, but do we have any relationship with any of the EPD members, especially some of the physically disabled? Is there any relationship with that or not?
I don't know. Leah could answer that, if we have DDD EPD members or not. I haven't heard of any, but Leah?
My experience has been that anyone who qualifies for both programs, EPD eligibility as well as DDD eligibility, their long-term care services are provided through the DDD program.
Okay, so if they're CP, they would most likely go through DDD?
Cerebral palsy is a DDD qualifying diagnosis.
Okay.
However, if the individual does not have the substantial functional limitations that are required for eligibility, they may not be determined DDD eligible.
Okay. So my question, the reason why I'm asking this is I do have a real concern about the contract issues around EPD and how that's affecting members. And is that something that we would not cover in this committee, Dee?
Correct, because they're not DDD members.
Okay, thank you. Sorry to...
We just do DDD members. So is there anything that anybody wants, any presentation for our September meeting? If you have any, get back to me, get back to Michelle, and Michelle is the one who arranges to have the speakers. She does all of that work for us behind the scenes, and you know, I say thank you, but on the record, we should say thank you, because Michelle does an amazing job for us for both our District West meetings and for the statewide meetings. So, and I'm sure Morgan does an amazing job for her districts and also for the statewide meetings. So thank you very much, Michelle.
Thank you, Michelle.
If anybody doesn't have any suggestions under number three, we're on to number four, and that's the DDD and access policy notification review and discussion. Is there anything that anybody wants to discuss that's come to our attention in the last month? Okay. Now we're on to number five. Hey, Michelle, this is you. DDD staff updates. Please take it away.
Okay, and thank you very much for those words. That's very nice of you. I appreciate it. Christina or Leah, did one of you want to present an update this evening by any chance?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and give a few updates. Dee, I just want to say that I also will not be here in the October meeting. I'll be hanging out with Mickey Mouse, so I'm excited. Okay, so a few things.
East Coast or West Coast, Mickey?
The West Coast, Mickey. Florida is a far, far trip for my kids, and the humidity is not my friend. Some of the things that we've got going on right now in DDD is that we are continuing to roll out our positive behavior support training. We just finished our last train the trainer session on October 5th and 6th. And that last train the trainer session actually ended up being so big that we ended up having to run two clinics simultaneously. And I think over those 2 days, we trained around 70 staff to then continue going on to train DSPs, our direct support professionals, in the training. We are now have over 7,000 direct support professionals that have completed the training, which is amazing. And looking at the numbers of the pre-test before, so the test that people are taking before the training and the post-test that people are taking after the training, and comparing the numbers, we're seeing a 22% increase in knowledge. So people are really learning a lot from the training, which is exciting. Additionally, we are doing a Likert scale to gauge satisfaction and applicability of the training. So on a scale of 1 to 5, with 5 being the highest, we're seeing an average of 4.67. So again, people not only are enjoying the training, but they're thinking it's really applicable to their jobs or their life as a caregiver. Within the 7,000 DSPs, or direct support professionals, that we have trained, there are 114 family members that Raising Special Kids has trained. And Raising Special Kids is rolling out their next training, actually starting on Thursday. So again, that is a free for families and caregivers. I think that's all we've got going for PBS. Our dual diagnosis training rolled out to behavioral health providers in the state. We had a curriculum of online training specific to best practices of supporting people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. We've had over 3,600 unique behavioral health professionals who have completed at least one of the courses. We held one of our Bridging the Gap conferences down in Tucson in May, and we are holding our second one in Phoenix on September 5th and 6th. It's 5th and 6th, and then the 7th is dedicated just to BCBAs to really learn how to work with that adult population that we see kind of often in our group homes as well. So far, we have over 350 behavioral health providers registered for the conference in Phoenix. That's next week. And the final thing that I've got to report out on is that DDD is supporting our second annual Self-Care for Caregivers Conference. We held our first one last year, and it was such a huge success that not only are we holding it again this year, but we're holding it in Tucson and in Phoenix this year. The one in Tucson is going to be held on October 3rd, and the one in Phoenix is going to be held on October 16th. Registration for Phoenix is full already, even though we just opened up last week. We are maintaining a wait list, though, so as people notify us that they're not able to attend, we'll be able to notify those on the wait list. We're going to have speakers, exhibitor tables. I think some of the people on this call are actually going to be there. We're going to have lots of breakout sessions and just a really good time getting people connected within the community as well. Does anybody have any questions for me?
I have a quick question, which might be too soon for you to answer, but if the EPD plan, the RFP, gets pushed back, will the RFP for DDD also be pushed back?
Leah?
I can help a little bit with that. They are not connected at all, Cynthia. Okay. Our RFP for our DDD health plans is a DDD procurement, whereas the EPD is run through Access.
Okay, thank you so much for that.
Okay, Leah. We don't have a public date announced yet, though, for that DDD RFP, right?
Oh, no, we do not. Mm-mm.
Okay. Yeah, anything else? Leah, do you have an update? If Christina's done?
I have a Christina who's doing a great job here with our updates. We kind of run them by each other, and I don't unless anyone has any questions for me. Hi, Cynthia.
Hi, sorry. I have a couple of questions. One, there's a different committee that I'm on, and we spoke with some very connected law enforcement people, including Diana Davis Wilson's husband. And when I talked about the justice liaison, none of them knew what I was talking about. So
that's disappointing.
It is very disappointing. So I had two questions. One, is the justice liaison targeting more prison areas, or are they connected with law enforcement as well? Because I talked to both Phoenix and Gilbert and a couple others, and they just, none of them knew about it, which was shocking to me. And I thought maybe you guys were targeting one direction or the other.
Actually, we are targeting both. And we have multiple justice reach in care coordinators who are collaborating with the detention facilities, but we also, that team partners with a lot of different groups throughout the state that are made up of correctional officers as well as police and sheriff. So I don't know where that disconnect is, but I would love an opportunity maybe offline to explore that further. We did just hire a brand new position that we are dedicating for outreach and education specific for law enforcement. And what that goal is to help them to understand more about, and I know you'll love this, the crisis system and how we need to be using that system and how we can work together when there are issues or concerns. So we want to do a lot of education so there's better understanding about the DDD community, about supporting people and not escalating situations that things go very, very wrong.
Which is great. I think that's so important. One of the things that I would just feedback for DDD is when you read a lot of these reports for the IOC, a lot of the things show like unsubstantiated. And my impression is that a lot of the DD members that report sexual abuse are just not taken seriously. Or are not validated. And that's certainly not your issue. It's not a DDD issue, but it is a prosecutor and law enforcement issue. And I appreciate the justice liaisons, but I would love to see some work on education about the vulnerability of our members and the ability for them to communicate sexual abuse, because mm-hmm. it's really a disconnect there. I don't know if you see it the same.
Actually, way. I think all of us have potentially experienced concern in that area. And Cynthia, what I think might be really healthy would be, if you're okay with it, as we are building our outline for the outreach education curriculum that we're building, that maybe we have you be part of that to help with that input about areas that we want to include. And what I can do this evening is touch base with our team who is working on the development around that and connect the two of you with your permission.
I would really appreciate that. You know, I'm super passionate about this issue. And then, so since the EPD and the DDD contracts are not connected in any way, the rumor that I heard was that the RFP would go out 2025 or 2026. Is that true, or we don't know that date yet?
I have not heard that at all.
Okay. Okay. Okay, that's it. I just kind of wanted to follow up on those two things. Thank you.
Thank you.
Leah, I do have a follow-up question for you.
Sure.
Regarding DDD not getting police reports.
Mm.
Do you know if that's something that you guys are working on?
Especially Dee, I'm going to be really honest and tell you I'm not informed around that. And yeah. I feel like that would be more of a question for Carl's team through yeah. those quality of care concerns. But I'm sorry, I can't speak to that tonight.
Yeah, I would just think with the justice coordinators that it would be important for them to know of all of the police reports that happen involving a DDD member.
Yeah, they're aware of court records, Dee. They have access to court records.
Right.
But they're not going to necessarily have every police report, right?
That's too bad, because they could be tracking and trending that information, and we could be working proactively.
Mm-hmm. And that is a gap. So if crisis gets used, the whole system is aware. All those little connections are made. But if, like, group homes use 911, there is a bit of a gap in reporting to both DDD and the health plans, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I'm sorry, I can't speak to that one tonight either. I feel like those are into those areas that are more that quality management, and Carl Burek would be able to have a better understanding to respond to that.
Okay, do we have any other questions? Any other staff updates? Hey, Michelle, do you have Larry's update? And then your update. We did our committee membership update. I don't think we have any discussion review of incident reports or behavior plans, do we? Have any of those? Then we'll go ahead and Michelle, if you want to do your update, and if you have anything from Larry, and then when you're finished, if somebody will make a motion, we'll adjourn for the evening.
Okay, sorry I don't have an update from Larry. The information I just wanted to provide was your metrics, but I can send that in an email for time's sake. And that's just the data on the incident reports that were provided to the committee for the months of May, June, July. I do want to say that we did schedule the next statewide meeting for a quarterly statewide meeting for October 2nd. If anybody's interested, let me know. I'd be happy to send you an update there. And I just have my standard update about the public town hall. The next public town hall is Thursday, September the 5th. That's it for me for tonight.
Okay, if I have a motion for us to adjourn, a second, and then a vote, we can go ahead and we can adjourn.
I make a motion that we adjourn.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Do we have any objection? All in favor, we can voice vote yay.
Yay.
Okay. It is 8:11 on 8/27. 2024. We're adjourning. When is our next meeting, Michelle?
The next meeting is hold on, I lost it. I'm sorry. September the
Michelle, how about the 24th?
24th. There it is. Thank you.
Okay, so I will see you all September 24th at 6 p.m. And if any of the committee members know David Jefferson, if you would take the time to lobby him so that he joins our committee, Cynthia and I will appreciate it very much. He would be an amazing addition. He's an amazing parent and professional advocate. Cynthia and I and Colleen have been working with him for a decade plus. So he is a very full plate, but he brings a lot to the table, and I don't want to give him away to another IOC. I want to keep him in District West. So, but congratulations. We are now up to 9 members. So 6 more to go. We'll see you next month. Thank you very much for your patience. Good night.
Good night. Good night. Good night.